in this book of Jonah. We began in chapter 1 a few weeks ago, and we looked at this as a picture, a type of the fall and the redemption of man. And so far as we studied this book, we saw what brought the fall, what brought the judgment of God upon humanity, and that was disobedience. Jonah disobeyed the Lord. And the Lord sent out this great wind into the sea, threatened the ship, threatened the sailors, and the only means of deliverance was to throw Jonah overboard. That's what we've seen in our studies. Then, the last couple of weeks, we've looked in Jonah chapter 2 at the sufferings of Jonah. The Lord Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in that whale's belly, the Son of Man must be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And we've looked at the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this today, I want to spend one more lesson here in the second chapter of Jonah and verse 10 of chapter 2. Verse 10, we've looked at the fall, we've looked at the Lord Jesus' sufferings and His death. We've considered all the things that came upon Him there on the cross. And this morning, I want to look in verse 10 of chapter 2. And this is an amazing statement, a great miracle. He says here in verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Now that's an amazing miracle, ain't it? Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of this fish. He called it the belly of hell. Terrible, terrible darkness. And now the Lord speaks to the fish, and it swims to the surface, beaches itself, and spits Jonah out upon the dry beach, upon the sand. Now that's an amazing miracle. And the Lord Jesus Christ was so raised from the dead after the same manner. He suffered. He died. They buried Him. And as Brother Glenn taught us this morning, He raised again from the dead the third and appointed morning. Now, what does this verse mean to us in verse 10? What can we learn from this? Looking at it as a picture and type that we have all the way through this book. Well, the first thing we learn from this glorious statement that this fish vomited out Jonah on dry land, we learned that the story doesn't have to end with Jonah in the bottom of the sea. Ain't that amazing? What if, now consider this with me this morning, what if this fish, this whale, had not vomited out Jonah upon dry land? Then the story ends there, doesn't it? There is no chapter 3. There is no chapter 4. It ends despairingly. It ends in tragedy. Jonah is gone forever. Nobody will ever see him again. The Ninevites will not be converted. All hope is lost. Jonah is gone forever. But bless God, it didn't happen that way, did it? It didn't happen that way. Those poor Pharisees, they thought for sure they'd got rid of him that had disturbed their little religious ceremonies and traditions. "We've got rid of him now," they said. "He's gone forever. He's out of our hair." But God raised him from the dead. And what does that mean for you and I, brothers and sisters? We have hope now, don't we? We have a future now. What if the Son of God had not risen from the dead? We'd have no hope. Life would still be uncertain. We'd still live in the fear of death and coming eternity. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and our future is bright. We have a hope in a world to come, don't we? Blessed and glorious resurrection of the Son of God. And I tell you, it's not only that you and I live in the hope of the world to come, but this world lives in hope. This creation has a hope. We're told in Romans 8 that the creation groans together unto now. And what's it waiting for? It's waiting for redemption. It's waiting for everything to be restored. And you know something? It's assured that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know why? The Son of God has risen from the dead. What a bright future the children of God have. You know what the Lord said? Because I live. Just because I live, you shall live also. I have come in a measure, and I mean, Sister Jean was talking about this before our service. I've come in a measure to rejoice in tears. When my heart is so burdened for one reason or another, family trials or some other trials, I have come to rejoice in a measure with tears upon my face. Because we have this promise of God Himself that there's coming a better day in which He'll wipe all tears away from our face. Yes. And the resurrection of the Son of God assures us of that. I've even come in a measure, and some of you have too, when your body is afflicted or you're sick, you sort of rejoice in that. Because you know that there's coming a day when all sickness and all pain and all sorrow is going to be done away with. You know why? Because our Savior has risen from the dead. We have a bright future. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and we got a bright future.
Yes.
We have a world to come. Because our Savior lives, we shall live also. History's not stopping, is it? No, history's going on. And for God's children, it's a bright history. An eternal happiness and bliss in the Father's house. Why? Because Jesus has risen again. Oh, that's a wonderful statement, ain't it? The fish vomited out Jonah. The grave held the Son of God no longer. And because He lived, we live also. That's what we learn from this statement. And the Lord Jesus meant for us to learn that from this statement, because He said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights, and that whale vomited him out, so the Son of Man must be 3 days and 3 nights, and the grave's going to let me go. It can't hold. Secondly, we learn from this, and this is a wonderful statement here, and I believe, brothers and sisters, you and I need to read the Scriptures carefully. Slowly. Don't read chapters, read words when you read God's Bible. Because the Holy Spirit has these little nuggets that He puts in a verse of Scripture. And sometimes you dig one of them out and it's just pure gold. It shines. And we have one here this morning. Did you notice what the Holy Spirit said there? The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The dry land. Now, what's so significant about that? Well, you remember what these waters were. These waters represented to us the judgment of God. I went down, Jonah said, into the deep waters. They came even to my soul. The billows, those waves came over me. They smothered me. That was God's judgment against sin. But I tell you, the Lord instructed this fish so clearly. He says, you big fish, when you let go of my prophet, you make sure that you're all the way up on dry land. I don't want a drop of water to touch even his toe. Waters must not touch my prophet. What does that tell us? When the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave, all of those horrible things that came upon Him on the cross, what came upon Him on the cross? Well, our sins was laid upon Him.
Yes.
The judgment of God came upon Him. God cursed Him. The Scriptures tells us that. He tasted death for us upon that cross. And He finally died. All the awful things that come upon Him. But you know something? When He come out of that grave, none of these things touched Him anymore. Sin that was upon Him, there was not a taint of it when He came out of the grave. death that he tasted, that bitter cup, he swallowed it up in victory. Death is no more. The judgment of God that smote him upon the cross, that sword that shed his blood, is now at rest. Nothing touches him any longer. You look at Jonah's old whale, and where is he? Well, he's laying there on the beach. He's laying on the beach. He swallowed up Jonah, but when he vomited out his prey, he lost all of his power. He was taken out of his element. I tell you, you put that old whale back out in the deep, down in the dark waters of the Mediterranean Sea, you see him out there, and he's pretty scary, isn't he? He's big. Oh, the shadow of this whale would scare a man. But you take a beach whale, he's out of his element. He has no power any longer, does he? And you know something about death? All death has now is a shadow. It's vomited out its prey, and it has no power any longer. It gaped its ugly dark jaws upon the Son of God, and he swallowed it up in victory. You go there to the Mediterranean coast this morning, and you know something. You won't find anything left of that monster. He began to decay. All that was left of him was dust, and now the dust is blown away. He swallowed up Jonah one time, but when he beached himself, he's gone forever now. He's dead. And the Son of God lives that death may die, brothers and sisters. There's coming a day when even the shadow of death will be taken away. I tell you, death to the soul is already taken away. That bitter sting has already been borne by our substitute. But now that he lives, there's come a day that even physical death itself will be destroyed. I love what the Lord Jesus said to death. You afraid of death, dear child of God? Does death ever come to you in its pale face and its black garments and make you afraid? Will you say to death the same thing the Lord Jesus Christ said to it? You know what he said to it? He said, "Oh death, I will be your plagues. Oh grave, I will be your victory. And repentance shall be hid from my eyes." Oh, it should be, I guess, that lost people live in fear of death. They'd be fools not to live in fear of death because they're under the sentence of death. Oh, but a child of God should never fear death. It's no more dangerous than Jonah's old dead beached whale laying there on the seacoast. There's nothing it can do to you. There's no harm that it can bring you. I love that passage of Scripture when the Lord Jesus had raised from the dead and those timid women had gone there to anoint his dead body. And the angels announced to him, "He's not here. He's risen." And then they made this amazing statement to them timid women. They said, "Would you like to come in and see where the Lord lay? There's death there. We don't want anything to do with that." "No, there's no death there. There's nothing there but light. There's nothing there but life." And Jesus Christ tasted death, brothers and sisters, one time. But he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Oh, hope. What a blessed hope. We're saved from our enemies because Christ is saved from his enemies. Look over here with me in a passage of Scripture. And over to the right, look over here with me in this. Look here what Zechariah was saying. You remember John the Baptist's dad upon the birth of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1, he's prophesying here of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he says about our enemies. Our enemies. That whale was Jonah's enemy. Sin is our enemy. The judgment of God upon sin is our enemy. The wrath of God is our enemy. Strong enemies. But look what Zechariah said the Lord Jesus was coming to do in verse 70. Look at this. He said here in verse 70, as he spake, as the Lord spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he spake to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies. What is our enemies? He said this twice, didn't he? Being delivered out of the hand of our enemies. Was he talking about the Roman government? Was he talking about Roman soldiers? I don't think so, do you? Oh, he's talking about tremendous enemies. You know what? One dear old Puritan made the statement one time. He said, God is a man's best friend, or he's a man's worst enemy. The grace of God will save a man. The wrath of God will damn a man. What's our worst enemy? The wrath of God's our enemy. Sin is our enemy. Death is our enemy. But you know what he said here? He's delivered us out of the hand of our enemy. And what's the effects of that? That we may serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. When the Lord Jesus came out of that grave, as sure as he stepped out without any taint of sin on him, without any taint of wrath and the judgment of God on him, he's free from those things. You and I are free from those things. You and I are free from those things. Just as free as he is. How free is Jesus Christ? How free is Jesus Christ? He died unto sin once. But death now has no more dominion over him. In that he liveth, he lives forevermore. Ain't that what the Scripture tells us? He's not subject to death. He's not subject to the judgment of God anymore. The wrath of God has nothing to do with him. And therefore, dear child of God, you who are in Christ this morning, these, your enemies, have nothing to do with you. You're as free as he is. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free from your enemies. That's what he came to do, deliver us from our enemies. And when death let him go, he'd had to let us go. He came to deliver us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Subject to bondage. What is death now? Just a hollow shell. A corpse. That's all it is. And when you lay down in death, brothers and sisters, you'll sleep. You'll rest. Is what you'll do. Look back over to our text again. There's the effects. The fall of Jonah, the sin of Jonah, affected everybody. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ affected everybody. Everything. Look here in verse 2, verse 10 again. Here's another important effect this verse has when we read that it spit Jonah out upon dry land. Look in chapter 3. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. You know what? You know the blessing that Jonah's resurrection had upon these Ninevites? There's two things that's so evident as you and I read the book of Jonah. Two things that God had purposed to do. Number one, he had purposed to save these Ninevites. They didn't know it, but he knew it, didn't he? And Jonah knew it. Jonah knew it. That's why Jonah didn't go preach to them to begin with. He purposed to save those Ninevites. And Jonah said, I ain't going over and preaching to them because I know you're going to have mercy on them. And when you have mercy on them, you're probably going to turn from Judah and Israel, from my people. And I ain't going. I know you're going to save them. And the second thing is evident, he was going to save them by Jonah. He's going to save them by Jonah's preaching. But there Jonah, he is down in the bottom of the mountains, down in the dark waters. What's going to happen then if he stays down there? Are the Ninevites going to remain unconverted? Are they going to continue in their wicked ways? They will if Jonah is not sent to turn them from their wickedness by his preaching. Well, there's two things evident, brothers and sisters, also with God, with us. It's evident as you and I read the Scriptures, He's purposed to save a great host of people out of Adam's race. He's determined to do that. He's decreed to do that. And He's purposed to save them by His Son. Just the same thing we find in the book of Jonah. Well then, the Lord Jesus says, I must bring them. And they'll hear my voice and they'll be converted back to Him. There he hangs, dead. They take him down from the cross, and everybody says he's dead. They wrapped him in grave clothes because he's dead. There he lays in the tomb, a sealed tomb, a dark tomb. But what about all the sheep then? Do they have to go unconverted? Never to hear the Savior's living voice? Die in their sins? No. He said, I must bring. I love that voice, love that verse over, I think it's in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, if I'm not mistaken. And how it goes so evidently with this type that we're looking at. Peter said to the Jews of his day, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in converting every one of you from your iniquities. Ain't that wonderful? Just as God raised up Jonah and sent him to the Ninevites to turn them and convert them from their sins, God raised up his Son Jesus and sent him to bless us in saving us and turning us from our iniquities. But you say, Bruce, how in the world is he doing this? He's in heaven. Well, physically, he's in heaven. But you know something, brothers and sisters? He is just as much here today in reality, in his spirit, even more so probably than he was when he was here physically. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Don't go off and start some rumor on me. But Jesus Christ in his physical being was limited in some sense, wasn't it? He couldn't get into their hearts physically. He's a body. But when he prayed the Father, and we were sent another comforter, and who is that? Well, that's God himself. That's Christ himself in his spirit. Now he can come into our souls, in our spirits, in our hearts. And what does he do? The first thing he does is convert us. God sends him to bless us in turning us from our sins. Listen to this. Brother Glenn read a portion of it to us this morning. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And listen to what he said. Brother Glenn read it to us this morning. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end. I am with you. Was he speaking to his apostles? Yes, but he was speaking to more than his apostles. I am with you until the end of the world. Lord, how long? Until the end of the world. Brothers and sisters, that's where you and I are at. We're right down in the last days, and yet he's with us. And the Scripture says this. Here's how Christ converts his people. They went everywhere preaching, and the Lord was working with them and confirming his word. I thought Christ was in heaven. He is. But he's here too. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, if I go to the cross, and I go to the tomb, and I ascend back into the Father, I will pray the Father, and He will send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you for how long? Forever. Christ is with us, brothers and sisters. He's with us. Let me give you four things in closing about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the effects of it. Four things. He's with His church. He's with His church just as much today as He was in the early book of Acts. He's with us. I am with you. I am with you always. Always. He don't always manifest Himself. I have no doubt this morning that the Church of Jesus Christ is all over this world. If you go to Russia, you'll find it there. Brother Mahan's been there and preached. He says it's there. It's in China. It's in South America, North America. It's all over this world, the body of Christ is. Sometimes it gets so weak. It loses its influence. Nobody listens to her. But you know something? Christ is with her anyway. Christ is with His church. No matter where you see His body, if it's His body, the living Christ is with that body. Some places He manifests Himself in the church. Other places He don't manifest Himself right. But He's with them anyway. You say, oh, Bruce, we're living in such a bad time. I don't know what's going to happen. Violence, lust, wars and rumors of war. It's a bad time. Brother, look how bad it was down in Nineveh. It's pretty bad, wasn't it? Evil, violence, lust. But who's that walking the streets down there? Who is that fellow? That walking the streets. That's Jonah. That's Jonah. And wherever you find the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, the living Christ is with His body. Now you mark that down. He's there. Let me quote this verse to you again. I am with you always. I am with you always. Always. Number two, not only is He with His church as a whole. Now get this. I am with you always. But where His members are gathered as we are this morning, He's here in our midst. He's in our midst. He's in our hearts. He's in the atmosphere. He's here in our midst. Well, that's a blessing. I left here last Sunday morning and I told somebody, I said, I don't know when I have been in a service where I have been so strengthened and encouraged. From the time Brother Bob taught the Sunday school class, I was enabled to preach. I was enabled to hear and worship. And I left here so strengthened in my... I've lived on it all week long. I mean, Brother Larry was talking about something. I think he said David said something to the effect that you know, I've listened to tapes. I've listened to tapes. But he said, so different. It's so different when you're there with the Lord's people. You're in His Word. It's different, ain't it? And you know what the difference is? He's here. He's here. Where two or three are gathered in My name, I, this resurrected Christ, am in your midst. I have no idea, no doubt in my mind this morning, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ is with us. He is in our midst. We're sure of that. We're sure of that. We can be assured of this also. Look here in 1 Peter with me right quickly. And I'll close. Two more things and I'll close. Look here in 1 Peter. He's with His church always. And wherever the members of His body, as we are this morning, gathered together, He's in our midst. He's the resurrected Christ in His Spirit. And look at this. And look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherever His gospel is preached, wherever His gospel is preached, He's in that gospel. He's in the gospel. Look here what Peter said in chapter 1. Look in verse 9. 1 Peter. Receiving the end of your faith. Here's the end of our faith. The salvation of our souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace, free grace, that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they ministered the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. Look at this. How do you preach the gospel? With the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You know how I know that Jesus Christ is here this morning? The gospel's being preached. And where His gospel is preached, He's with it. He's with it. He's in it. He's in it. And that brings us to our Jonah, doesn't it? God rose him out of that whale's belly and He sent him to convert those Ninevites. And Jesus Christ is in His church this morning. He's where His gospel is preached. And what's He doing with it? He's converting sinners. He's converting His elect unto Himself. You'll find that in Acts chapter 16, where the Apostle Paul and those who were with him went out to the river, where they often met for prayer, and these group of ladies were there. They were gathered there. And as Paul began to preach the gospel, the Scriptures makes this statement: the Lord opened Lydia's heart. Is He with us or not? Huh? Is He here on this earth today or not? They went everywhere preaching the gospel, and the Lord was with them. When the Lord is with the gospel, oh, somebody's going to be blessed. Somebody's going to have their hearts open. And she attained unto the things spoken of Paul. I tell you, Jonah and all the miracles of that book, they've got nothing on us, have they? All the miracles we read about in the book of Jonah, the Lord sending out that wind and stirring the waters, preparing a fish, Jonah living in that fish for 3 days. I tell you, that's a miracle. Lord speaking to that fish. What a miracle that was. That old fish laying on the bottom. Suddenly he rises up. Where are you going, big whale? I've got this urge. Urge. Where are you going? I've got this urge to become a beached whale. You know the consequences of that? Oh, it don't matter. And boy, he heads for the dry land. And with one big surge, he pushes his heavy body right up on the dry sand and vomits it out. What a miracle that was. But I tell you the greatest miracle. I tell you a greater miracle than that. When a poor old dead dog sinner is sitting in a worship service, hearing the gospel of the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit comes to the heart and opens the heart. And you say, now I see. Now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. What do you see? I see the King in His beauty. I see Jesus Christ in His saving merits. I see Him. Oh, He's mine. He's mine. And you're brought to cast your soul upon Him. Yes. To be saved by Him. Oh, that's the biggest miracle that you can ever imagine. And it's all accomplished by this way. Christ, the risen Lord, is among us. He's among us. Lord, bless Your precious Word to our hearts. Father, we do thank You. We thank You for this precious book of Jonah, all that You teach us from it. We thank You, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, surely You are sovereign Lord. You brought us to Yourself. We were Your enemy, but we are enemies no longer. We were dead in sins, but we're dead no longer. We were filthy and laid with our iniquities, but now we're clean. Oh, and it's all because You, sovereign Savior, have blessed us. And we bless You for doing it. Be Your interpreter this morning. Bless Your gospel to this dear people. In our Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother David Baker wanted to profess the Lord Jesus in water baptism this morning. And we're going over to